Imagine paying for a streaming service but not being allowed to watch their full library because you're in the wrong location. This happened to me on vacation, but with ExpressVPN, it won't happen anymore. Streaming services hide content from you based on your location. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want your streaming service to think you're located. They have servers in over 100 countries to choose from. It's easy to use. Fire up the app and click one button to change locations. It works on all your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, smart TVs, and more at fast speeds. You can stream in HD with no buffering. I'm able to access content from airplanes in other countries that I wouldn't normally be able to. So be smart, stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/matter. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/matter to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Introducing Morning Kick from Roundhouse Provisions, a new daily beverage crafted to invigorate your mornings. Packed with potent greens such as spirulina and kale, enhanced with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and ashwagandha. It's as simple as mixing with water, stirring, and savoring the refreshing taste of strawberry lemonade without any hint of spinach. Morning Kick has seamlessly integrated into my daily routine, taking the place of orange juice as my go-to morning pick-me-up. Since incorporating it into my regimen, I've noticed improved digestion and a significant boost in energy levels, which is crucial especially now that I'm a father. Prioritizing my health is paramount as it enables me to strive for the best version of myself, spiritually, mentally, and physically. If you're feeling sluggish, consider trying Morning Kick. The benefits are truly worth experiencing. To find out more, go to mymorningkick.com/Harris and watch Chuck Norris's video right now. Again, that's mymorningkick.com/HARRIS. We are live now on the Conversations That Matter podcast. I wasn't expecting to podcast this much today, but in light of current events, I thought it might be prudent to talk about this. I know there's a lot of anger out there. I'm sure there's some in this particular audience, since many of us are Christians who likely were voting for Trump. And even if you weren't, this is certainly an upsetting thing to see a former president in such a, well, vulnerable state with that attempted assassination. Of course, details are still coming in. It seems like it was someone on a rooftop. I don't even know if we know what kind of weapon or gun they were using. I think there's a lot of speculation, though, going on. Benjamin says, sorry to interrupt your stream with the news, bud. Well, yeah, that's okay. I mean, you know, there's a lot of that could be said here, but I'm going to gather my thoughts here and just give you some. I've been writing about this for about the last hour or so, so I have some things to share. In the podcast we did earlier today, I think it was very important too. If you haven't seen that, it's about Matt Chandler. Go check that out. But right now the news is, of course, President Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania was speaking, and he's speaking about immigration, actually. And it was at that point someone, some say five shots, some say more, some say a little less, or some say they're not sure. Apparently the big media outlets, especially the ones that don't like Trump, didn't even want to concede that this was a firearm and that he was shot. In fact, CNN talked about the fact that he fell, and that was all they talked about. You know, he didn't fall, he ducked. That's what happened. But we, of course, the media is who the media has always been, at least probably in my lifetime, and they've just become worse. And so I'm not doing this just to complain. Of course, there's a lot to complain about, but I think this is a moment of clarity and a moment for us to think through and prioritize what we ought to be doing up through not just the election, but beyond that, because this, I think, shows us the state of affairs we're in. And you might say, well, how can that be? This was possible. Well, we're going to probably find out it's a crazed gunman. And I thought about that because, you know, Ronald Reagan had an attempted assassination. It wasn't at a political rally. He was walking on the street, a little different, but someone tried to assassinate him. JFK obviously was assassinated. And in both cases, at least the initial assumption about both of those things, I know there's questions about JFK, but the assumption was this was a foreign actor, someone on the payroll of foreign actors or someone who was crazed, someone who just, they were out of their mind. They didn't represent any contingent of Americans, certainly not a major political party. I can't say the same for this. This is not, in fact, someone on X said in response, because I made that point, said, actually, the last time I think for a president that this has happened, because, you know, obviously you also have attempted assassination of Teddy Roosevelt. Trying to think who else. That's a president specifically. But he went back to Abraham Lincoln and he said that was the last recognizable time that you could say there was a contingent of Americans that would have, that that particular gunman would have represented. And that's true. John Wilkes Booth represented a contingent of Americans. And it was, some could argue that this was still a wartime scenario. And so this was an attempted political assassination. We're not supposed to be in a wartime scenario right now, right? So I think that's that's the big difference. So I'm going to go over some of the thoughts that I've written down about what makes this different, why this is a moment of clarity, and what we should think about as a result. Someone said George Wallace wasn't the president, but he was certainly running for president, or he had run for president, I should say. All right, let's talk about this. Oh, I should say this first. President Trump did just release a statement. So let me just read this. It says, I want to thank the United States Secret Service and all of law enforcement for their rapid response on the shooting that just took place in Butler, Pennsylvania. Most importantly, I want to extend my condolences to the family of the person at the rally who was killed, and also to the family of another person that was badly injured. Oh, man, that's sad. I didn't even know that until I read this. It is incredible that such an act can take place in our country. Nothing is known at this time about the shooter, who is now dead. I was shot with a bullet that pierced the upper part of my right ear. I knew immediately that something was wrong, and I heard whizzing sounds, shots, and immediately felt the bullet ripping through the skin. Much bleeding took place, so I realized then what was happening. God bless America. I mean, the way he's reacted, I'm very impressed, to be honest with you. The images from this of Donald Trump, maybe I can, I'm sure anywhere I went, if I went on, just see, Donald Trump, if I put in his name, I'm sure some of those images will come up. Most of you are probably seeing those images. Assassination attempt. And he raised his hand. I mean, there you have a couple different shots. Here's one. I don't know why it's not bigger. But, you know, raising his hand up with a bloody ear, with his fist, and saying fight, fight. I mean, I can't think of a more inspiring reaction than that. I mean, it's, some people obviously on social media are saying the election's over at this point. I don't know. I would think that though, no amount of attempts to rig would be able to overcome the massive swell of support. That's what I would think. I want to believe that. I'll tell you what, I want to believe that, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we still have a few months to go. And, I think of the story of Christ and how, you know, the crowds were so fickle. And so that always causes me to, I do think this is obviously for, as if we should be thinking about the election, the purposes of an election. It seems like that's not the, maybe the time to think about that, but it's inevitable. That's what we're going to be talking about to some extent. I think, yeah, it would increase his chances, but I'm always careful because you don't know exactly what's ahead. So anyway, here's what I wrote today. And if you would share it around, I appreciate it. If you're a fan of this particular podcast, it's on truthscript.com. It's the front page right now on truthscript.com. And the title is Crisis Point, America's Political Landscape in the Wake of Trump's Assassination Attempt. I'm just going to read through this. I just like wrote this stream of consciousness in the last hour. I said, as I write this, the story of the attempted assassination of Donald Trump at the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania is still fresh news. Elon Musk just gave the former president his full endorsement. That was immediate. The internet is flurry with predictions of Trump's impending election and anger against the left. Iconic pictures of Donald Trump shouting fight with his fist raised are locked into the memory of voters in the pages of history. This is the moment we entered a new political paradigm. Let me illustrate it. The headline at CNN right now, and I don't know if it still, it probably doesn't still say that, but at the time I started writing this, so what are we talking about, 7:30? The headline at CNN read, "Trump injured in incident at Pennsylvania rally." According to screenshots on social media, the initial headline apparently read, "Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally." So that was actually the one that was previous to that. That was their first one, was that Trump happened to fall at a rally. No, that's a Biden headline. MSNBC and the Daily Beast are connecting the incident to popping noises. Yeah, not even gunshots. At least the New York Times heading stated that it sounded like gunshots, but apparently the jury is still out. Tennessee State Representative Antonio Parkinson even speculated that the incident may have been staged. You can believe it. The media's collective resistance to calling this what it actually is, an attempted assassination, shows more than a betrayal of journalistic standards. They are now seen for what they actually are, wartime propagandists molding the truth to what suits them politically. This is not biased. It is the theater of the worst kind. A former president was clearly seen with blood streaming from his ear at a campaign rally after shots were heard. How else do you characterize this kind of thing? Now, unfortunately for many, this is not a shock. Members of my own family have expressed their surprise for years at the fact that Trump has not been taken out. None of them will be surprised at one eyewitness account who claimed he was ignored by the police and Secret Service when he reported the would-be assassin on top of a nearby roof. They likewise will not be the least bit surprised by one report that the Secret Service agents protecting Trump had already asked the Biden administration for more security resources but did not receive them. I cannot remember hearing this kind of talk or cynicism about opposition to any president during my lifetime. Since 2016, a shift away from conventional politics and toward things like the Great Sort, national divorce, and Christian nationalism have organically started to rearrange the political right. Young white men are especially aware of the bias against them. In some ways, they do not feel welcome in their own country based on hiring practice, media portrayal, aid to foreigners, and educational opportunity. They want someone who is not ashamed to claim them or publicly receive their support. I assume much of the media analysis will eventually agree that we are entering new territory, but they will misdiagnose the cause and effect. They will say we moved away from politics and towards polarization because Donald Trump said divisive things which inspired a mentally ill person to shoot at him. Of course, we cannot forget that Republicans who support gun laws are also to blame. And I'm just waiting for it. It's going to be hard with this. I'll be honest. I don't know what they're going to do exactly. That's my speculation about it. But this is the head of the Republican Party, essentially, effectively, and the person running for the presidency under the Republican ticket. It's going to be hard to do the anti-gun thing I don't know, though. They might still try to do that, or they might mutter it under their breath. But they're going to, I think, try to come up with any way they can, obviously, to take whatever pressure they can off the left for this kind of thing. And they're going to try to make this look like an outlier and maybe propose that they have the policies to deal with this kind of thing in the future, whether that's anti-gun violence, quote unquote, or really anti-gun, let's tone down the rhetoric, you know, and that's a suggestion that Trump's rhetoric is heated and it provokes these responses. Actually, what's really occurring is a return to the political. Politics has always been about advocating on behalf of one's constituents and identifying friends and enemies along the way who either helped or hinder that goal. To be political is to assume divided interests. Dr. Russell Fuller showed me a few years ago something many commentators believe regarding the reference in Daniel 2:43 to the Roman Empire's mixture of iron and clay. It seems that multiculturalism of a certain variety weakened the Roman Empire by introducing foreign elements with different interests and loyalties. This prophetic verse states that the iron and clay will combine with one another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. Edward Gibbon later wrote about the introduction of barbarians into the Roman armies that became every day more universal, more necessary, and more fatal. So, why do I bring all this up? What does this have to do with what just happened? Well, we're polarized. That's true. And I'm trying to show you that there are parallels. The Roman Empire is not completely parallel, but this is one of the things even the Bible says, this is part of what made Rome weak. And we're doing some of the same thing and importing these large groups of people that don't share generations of common interests with us is not the way to go. That is the way to create more political polarization. And we've had for years, unfortunately, a group of people, some of them even tracing back to the founding, to be quite honest with you, but we've had a group of leftists who want their utopia that are willing to use racial minorities, or they'll say sexual minorities, women. I mean, that's the identity politics thing of the left, and new imported groups of people to try to attack the center. That's what they're doing. They're trying to overcome the group of traditional decent Americans that are being sieged from all angles in the center. And that's been the formula they've used to do that. Identity politics. Like most things, the shift to a new political arrangement has been gradual, but today that accelerated. The Cold War generations, of which I, as a millennial and the last, having been born before the dissolution of the Soviet Union, enjoyed for a brief moment an America united against a common threat. And those of you my age, you remember this, because even though you're probably too young to remember the Soviet Union, you remember all the media and the unity that was generated by it. And the War on Terror never really accomplished that. You remember the Rocky movies, for example, right? And the Chuck Norris movies and things like that, that, you know, America was a good thing. America was this, they were against the Soviets. And Americanism meant a general respect for Christianity, a commitment to hard work, a reverence for folk heroes, and the shared enjoyment of national pastimes. Both parties had to subscribe to these elements, and Democrats cannot associate too closely with communists. In the end, people thought politicians from both parties loved America, and political violence and assassination attempts came from outside agitators, which that's Reagan and Kennedy. Today, though, the situation is different. Truth be told, it has been different for decades, but Cold War era inertia has kept us thinking things were the same for too long. People cannot deny what they see with their own eyes. A weaponized deep state apparatus rigged elections, dumping masses of migrants into the heartland, large foreign aid packages for others, but not our own, a military trained to recognize right-wing groups as their main domestic threat, multiple attempts to put Donald Trump in jail, and the list goes on. President Joe Biden's call to unite as one nation in condemning this act will likely fall on deaf ears. It is too late to say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Ordinary, decent Americans know they are in the crosshairs simply for not going along with the left's latest innovations. There's no way to cross this river except through it. As believers, it has never been more important for us to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves, though. We must dedicate ourselves to achieving peace through prayer and whatever political resources we have. We must establish outposts of Christian freedom for our people, guided by natural loves and biblical ethics. As Americans, it has never been more important for us to see what is happening for what it is. We are entering a state of war. There are people who will not let us share the remainder of this republic with them. These battles will play out in the political realm, but they may not remain there. Be prepared for whatever comes as much as you can. In the end, God is the one who ordains nations to rise and fall. We are the ones he will hold responsible for doing our part to protect what he's given us. And that's the article that I wrote. If you like it, please go ahead and share that. It's at truthscript.com. And I'll take some of your comments about this. But really what I wanted to explain, I think, is a sense I've had for quite some time now, for years, in fact, that we have entered a new paradigm. And I've been waiting, I think some were waiting for me to catch up, but I've been waiting for others to catch up to that. And I think this is a moment of realization. People are catching up and they're realizing the way they're processing this is different than the way they processed other opposition attempts. Because it's being interpreted as this might be a wacko gunman, but how many people have said violent things or said they wanted to do violent things to President Trump? I remember that comedian holding up it was like a wax figurine of his head dripping with blood years ago, and how offensive that was. And it offended even people on the left, some of them, but she was a mainstream comedian. I forget who that was, but people right now on X, people are posting all kinds of screenshots of what sound like almost calls to violence from people on the left. And I think that's what makes this different. And there's a realization now that, oh, someone actually listened and decided to do it. Now, of course, there's always people out there who are going to do evil things like that, but we don't always connect it to a large group of people or think, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Kathy Griffith, someone just said in the chat, Kathy Griffith, that's who I was thinking of. So let me take some questions, comments. There's Earl Starbuck for $5. Say, I pray that God will heal and protect President Trump. This is an appalling, wicked act, and I fear it may be a sign of much worse to come. And, you know, I feel the same way. I would just encourage everyone, you know, we need to be smart. We need to be cautious. We need to be aware of what's going on. We don't need to be fearful, though, in the sense of, like, we don't need to look at this and say, they're going to come shoot all of us. They're going to, maybe the time will come for that. That it's not right now. And thank God that he protected President Trump, that 2 inches to I guess it would have been from his standpoint, 2 inches was, I think it was his right ear. So if it was 2 inches to the left, we would be having a very different conversation tonight if we would be talking at all. I don't even know what that would look like. And I think that's also the part where we take a sigh of relief. We take a breath, but then we, all of a sudden it sets in. We don't know what would happen. We don't know what the reaction to that looks like. And these are just new political times. So let's get to some of your comments. I've been talking too much. Jacob Miller is very upset. It says it's very upsetting and disgusting. I agree. Amy McGregor thanks me for the live podcast earlier, which was interesting. And I have been having similar thoughts. Now another terrible moment in our community, our history. Appreciate your perspective. Thank you, Amy. Natalie Roman says, hi, I'm upset. Even though I've decided not to vote for Trump after the Republican platform was released, we are now a banana republic. You know, it feels that way. I was talking to my dad last night. Yesterday was my birthday. So I had some family over and I was talking to my dad about this and he's pretty upset. And I understand. I mean, it's upsetting that the Republican Party, not only did they change their platform, but Trump kind of rammed it through. And this is something that did not need to be rammed through. And I'm of course talking about the softening of abortion, anti-abortion language. And, you know, I told him, you know, I get that. I think it's terrible. I think there's corruption. I think Trump's even surrounded by a lot of corruption. We saw that at the end of his first term, especially, but I'm still looking at my child and I'm thinking, what's the issue of this election? I think immigration's the huge thing. And it's not that I don't care about abortion, because I very much do, but what the pagans are going to do with their children is sinful. It's wrong. The government shouldn't allow it in the states. And I live in a state where the government does allow it. But they're not asking me to do that with my children. They're not telling me I have to do that with my children. It's not like China's one child policy or something like that. I am looking at the immigration issue, though, and I'm thinking this does directly affect my children. The culture and the economics that they're going to grow up with are going to be very different than what I grew up in. And that's part of what's contributing to that. And it's a negative contribution. And Trump seems to be better on that issue, pretty good on that issue, especially compared to Republican presidents we've had in the past. Even on the abortion issue, he is the one that did appoint Supreme Court justices that did eventually overturn Roe v. Wade. So I'm still voting for Donald Trump, but and I'm assuming a lot of people probably are going to be doing that. I remember in 2016, I was one of the people that did not vote for Trump. And part of it was I wanted to try to, you know, show the Republicans that, you know, you can't just count on my vote. And, you know, Donald Trump doesn't seem like he's really that pro-life. And there was a bunch of other things that I thought, you know, he's just not going to be that conservative. And I remember the top brass of the Christian right came out against Donald Trump. What good did that do, though? He still had the people, really. And the people in the pews still voted for Trump. I know there's some questions about studies about those who went to church versus those who were evangelicals and didn't go to church as much. And it seems like the more nominal, the more you voted for Trump. I remember some of those studies and stuff. But, you know, like overall, still the vast majority of evangelicals, whether you know, went to church or not, the people who identified that way ended up voting for Donald Trump. And I think it'll be the same thing. I think it's, you see clearly tonight the issues that are driving this. And the Democrats, I think, want to make abortion their big issue and that maybe they'll get a little traction, but it's coming down to, do you want to even live in the same country with each other? Can you live with people in California and New York if you're in the heartland? And I mean, New York City. I mean, can you share a country together? And this is one of the reasons, you know, I made the 1607 project was to try to give a solution to this, to try to give a way to take the pressure off and give a release valve and say, we have something called federalism. It's in our DNA. It's part of our tradition. Let's get back to it. And I don't think a lot of people are interested in federalism, though. So I don't know exactly what the future is going to look like. I'm hopeful that Donald Trump's going to win. But even after that, what does it look like? And so this is where I think Christians do need to get busy as much as they can. How is the perimeter not swept more thoroughly? That is a good question. And I don't know. But I do know, as I read to you, that there is a report out there now that the Trump Secret Service was requesting more resources from the Biden administration, and the Biden administration refused to grant it. So They might not have had the resources. They might not have taken the threat seriously when someone did there at the rally say, I think I see a gunman on a roof. Fox News says it was an offsite sniper. Thankful it was offsite. I heard two shooters involved, one sniper, one running up with a handgun. I don't know about that. It could be. I don't know. The media fuels this hate. I agree. They've been calling him Hitler and Mussolini. Well, more Hitler for years. That's true. Or making those comparisons, whether subtly or not. The voting machines, illegal alien votes, mail-in ballots, drop boxes, late-night truck arrivals, much reason for concern. I mean, I'm still looking at that. I'm saying that's still in play here. I agree. To our opponents, President Trump represents us, Micah Sample says. They want us dead. This isn't a lone wolf from the loony bin. This is the logical conclusion of leftism, which acts under the same modus operandi as Satanism. Do what thou wilt. What the murderer attempted to do is symbolic of what leftism wants to do to right-wingers, white people, men, Christians, etc. This, I'm telling you, that Micah just summed up what I think so many of us are feeling. We just, like I said, with my own members of my family who just thought for years even, I can't believe they haven't taken them out yet. Like, there's this understanding that the deck is stacked against us. They don't like us. We feel it. We sense it. We know it. We have so many comments coming in. I'm trying to get to all of them as much as I can here. The left is totally depraved. Expect zero introspection. I noticed online, like, I just went to, like, I think J.D. Greer, Russell Moore, maybe one other like big Eva account real quick, like got people that are kind of on the left. And I was like, what are they saying? And, you know, they're all condemning this, which is good. I kind of expected that, but like, you know, I didn't like Russell Moore didn't use Trump's name, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like it's like, he can't even bring himself to say Donald Trump. He's got to just say that, you know, this is an attack on the Imago Dei. He can't say attack on Donald Trump. It's not, he doesn't interpret it as an attack. Wait, let me pull it up. Let me pull it up for you. Cause, you should see what I'm talking about, so you know. Okay. Here's Russell Moore's X account. And he said, political violence is evil to the core and is an attack on everything this country represents. Attempted murder is an attack on the image of God. This is awful. Yeah, it is awful, Russell Moore. But, you know, you're not interpreting. You interpret this so broadly as it's an attack on the image of God. That's what it is. And how about the fact that this is an attack on Donald Trump and who Donald Trump represents? There's more going on here. And I will likely find out more if the identity of this shooter is revealed on what motivated them. But I'm sure it's some kind of a leftist angle. It's funny, this is his last post. Our leaders won't walk away. And that's more about politics is his headline. And it's Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I'm assuming this is about their age and, you know, their, how long they've been at this. And, you know, I don't know, but yeah, this is, it's interesting, you know, and I haven't gone to, you know, let's just do it real quick. Let's just see. I think I mentioned J.D. Greer. Let's just see what he's saying. He's saying that, this is the time to unite against violence and pray for, and hey, he mentions Trump, credit to J.D. Greer, and the victims of this assassination attempt, whatever your politics, this is not the way. That's a good statement. That's a good statement. Dr. James Merritt, even, no matter who's running for president, we should pray for their safety and thank God when their lives are spared after an attempt, also to commend the Secret Service for their quick action. You know, and even this first sentence, though, does that bother anyone a little bit? I mean, it does me. No matter who is running for president, we should pray. Like, okay, that's true. I'm not taking issue with the truth value of it, but like something very specific happened tonight. I just shouldn't say the whole left, but what many on the left, including mainstream people on the left, have been talking about for a long time with very violent things that they've said about Donald Trump. It's finally someone really attempted to do it. And I'm sure there's been previous attempts, but this was a time when they got very close, like inches from doing it. And the response is no matter who is running for president, you know, he doesn't even mention Donald Trump's name here. It's like, why don't you just say, like, this is an attack on Trump and his and the people that support him and the people he represents. And it's wicked. It's wrong. We're praying for Donald Trump and his family. We're praying for you know, that would even be better. Like, I just don't think they would respond the same way if it was Biden exactly. But, you know, I don't know. Who else should I don't know. People put in the comments if you think there's other people I should look to see what their reactions are. I'm kind of doing this live. But while we get Secret Service protection, Michael says, those who took selfies on January 6th aren't so fortunate when they lost their Second Amendment rights. Yeah, that was I don't want to get side railed, but yeah, I was there. So that was an interesting day, to say the least. CNN going to call it a most peaceful assassination attempt. It feels that way, doesn't it? Show me a successful multicultural civilization where people didn't share core values. There isn't. That's part of the problem. Like, multiculturalism, diversity is really not our strength. And that's part of the problem with the United States. Babylon is falling, says Henry. Him Fong says, just back in 2022, the former Japanese president was assassinated. Guess the globalists are getting real busy now. Yeah, I remember that. What was his name? I remember who you're talking about. And he was more of a nationalist type. Like, he was apparently closer with Trump. I remember that. Like, they were like political allies somewhat. And he was taken out by, I guess, a more left-wing protester. 2016 caught the DNC off guard. That will never happen again. So there's some people who are still black-pilled on the election and don't see a way forward. Federalism and secession are the best options, says Earl Starbuck for $2. You know, Earl, I appreciate the support. If you just put a comment in, though, you don't have to pay me $2. I'll read it. I just saying that because I know you're a student. So what does David French have to say? Okay. All right. We'll go. I'll go to David French. Let's see if David French, I'm sure he's got something. Pull it up. All right. David French. Oh, he doesn't have anything. He's off Twitter right now, David. So that would have been a good one to check out, but he is off Twitter. He hasn't said anything. Checked off says, sounds like Russell is trying to say the assassin's heart was in the right place. No, I don't think it's quite that checked off. Let's be fair to Russell Moore. He did condemn it, man. There's some of you have some good points. And I can't, Karen Swallow Pryor, you want to check it? All right. I'll see what Karen Swallow Pryor is saying. If anything, you know, I would expect universal condemnation, at least on some level. She has not said anything about this. So yeah, not everyone's on Twitter all the time, though, so I don't have the expectation. But I'll tell you, on January 6th, though, I remember that because I was there, and I remember coming back, and it was like within hours. It wasn't long. It was like everyone. Al Mohler was condemning in the strongest terms. Like, everyone was in Big Eva was just appalled and condemning, and I just, like, I remember that. George Floyd was the same thing. There's a number of incidents like that from the left. Hi, John. Trump did not even seem to be frightened. I would agree. I was shocked by that. I'll be honest. That my first reaction was like, wow, that's scary. And the fact he earned so much, I'm just amazed by it, to be honest. And disagreements, you know, still there. So put those, you know, disagreements aside, the fact that he ducked. And then he stood up and put his fist in the air and said, fight, fight. He's a tough guy, guys. He's a tough guy. I think he's in this for the right reasons. I know that, you know, a lot of people think it's his narcissism. It's his, he just got to be in the spotlight. I see that with him. He likes the cameras on him and stuff. I believe what he said at the last debate. He likes to golf and he'd rather be golfing, but Biden's doing such a terrible job. I think he actually cares about the people of this country. Whether you agree with his policies or not, it's come down to that. That is the dividing line. Do you care about the people of this country or do you not? And Biden doesn't seem to, Trump does. And that's enough for some people to say, you know what? He's trying to do something to benefit my family. I'm going to vote for him. And I saw that tonight. He got right back up immediately and there was no quivering. There was no, he didn't even, it was instinctual. He did not have to for one moment hesitate about what he wanted to do. Does he still want to run for president? Does he want to take a break? No, he's right there. I mean, it's like the Secret Service had to drag him off that platform because he was ready to go. All right, this is the last one I'll look up. Someone wants me to look up Phil Vischer to see what Phil Vischer's saying. Okay. We'll look up Phil Vischer. These are all people that are, you know, I would consider, I suppose, elites in evangelicalism. You know, had a measure of success in elite institutions. Phil Vischer has said nothing. So, all right. So three strikes, we're out. Eric says staged. What do you say to the family whose guy got his head blown off? Yeah, that's what I think. You have someone else who died because of a stray bullet in that crowd. You took a bullet, and you're going to say that staged. This was nothing staged. I don't see anything staged about this. There's no evidence for it. I'll put it that way. I hope this makes him pick a running mate the left is more scared of than him. Maybe Tucker. Can you imagine if it's Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson? How awesome that would be. Man, I would love it if he picked Tucker Carlson. All right. Well, this is mostly what I had to share with you. So like I said, if you thought my thoughts were pertinent, relevant, helpful, go ahead, go to truescript.com, share that article. I'm going to take the opportunity real quick to say something, because people were naturally, I would say, like this kind of thing, I think the natural reaction is to be scared of political violence. And to think to yourself, we have this election coming up. What if the results don't go the way that we'd like them to go anyway? Let's say Biden, through whatever hook or by crook, you know, they declare him on the media the winner. We don't know what happens in that scenario. Let's say they declare Trump the winner. I think we have a better idea of what happens in that scenario, and we don't know what our country looks like. There's probably going to be, are we going to have another like BLM summer of love? Because there's a lot of people that have been convinced by the education, by the media, by every institution just about, that Donald Trump is basically Hitler, and that he's going to make war on them, destroy this country. He hates Palestine. He's in bed with Russia. All our enemies, he just wants to destroy us. And they see him as enemy number one. And an assassination is a moral thing to them. And if you're on his side, boy, you're caught up in that. You're painted with the same color. And so there's open questions about what does it look like? What happens after this? And so I want to just say, if you need encouragement, if you feel alone right now, which maybe some of you do, but politically, man, I don't know if people agree with me. If you're a guy, plan on coming to the men's retreat that we have coming up in September. This is before the election. That we could have done it, I guess, after the election, but no, this is before the election. And it's a time that I think really helps, I've seen it at least, help men bond together, strengthen one another, sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. You can go to fundamentalsconference.com if you want to check that out. So I just want to give a shout out to that. I know I talked about this earlier on the podcast when we were talking about Matt Chandler, but Fundamentals Conference is the website. There's some pictures there. And this is a men's conference. And more than ever, I think right now, we need to be networking. We need to be networking with men. If you're coming alone, the guy emailed me from Pennsylvania. We try to get people who are in your area to bunk with you. If you were going to do like we have different packages, but if you want to pay the least amount of money, it is the triple occupancy. And I'll put you with people that are from your area as much as I can. There's some lasting relationships formed from this, and it's going to be your kind of people. So I just want to put that plug out there. A few more comments and then we're done and I got to go. It's the Lord's days tomorrow, but could you pray with us before you go? Yeah, I could do that. That's a good suggestion. We could do that. You know, I'm weird about praying for recordings. And I was only doing recordings when we started Conversations That Matter. Now, of course, I do more live streams, and it makes more sense in my mind to pray in a live stream. So yeah, we could definitely do that. I don't know why I'm weird about that. I have to think through why I feel that's weird, but that's how I roll. Okay. Let's see here. Yep. Thanks for doing this. You're welcome. And then last comment, guys, Trump's last words were, take a look at what happened before being shot. Gentle Dove has a point about the picture. Perfect photograph taken of Trump standing victoriously, guys. No, I'm not going there. I'm not buying that. This is a, no, someone in the audience died. This Trump, if this was staged, I don't think Trump's planning on getting shot in the ear. And you could see the surprise of the Secret Service. You could see the surprise of the crowd. You could see the surprise of Donald Trump. I'm not buying it, guys. I would put that stuff away. All right, let's pray. Lord, we come before you now. We thank you for the freedoms that you've granted us in this country, even as tomorrow we all go to church and if we don't, we should, Lord, to worship you. You've given us freedoms in this country to do so without the fear that the government's going to come in and put an end to it. And we don't take that for granted. And we want that to continue, Lord, along with many other freedoms that we enjoy. We want a future for our children and our grandchildren. And Lord, we're looking at this situation and we know you're in control. We just know that even the fact that the bullet did not hit Donald Trump in the head and cause serious damage is your grace and mercy. And so we pray that he would look to you in this, that he would realize that you protected him and this would cause him to gain a fresh perspective on and a humility before you. And we pray, Lord, for this country, that you would save us, essentially, Lord, that you would show us each in our individual places where we ought to go, what we ought to do, whether that's move or stay put or invest in local politics or whatever that might be. Lord, show us how we can have the greatest impact. And we love you. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, get up and go to church, guys. Have a good night. God bless.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.